T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Let's get to Dr. Siobhan Donovan. State Senator Siobhan Donovan represents Henrico County, who has been with us throughout the COVID crisis. What's your take on the data this morning? Is it true that younger people are being hospitalized more? What is your assessment of the numbers when it comes to younger people going into the hospital?
Good morning, John.
Good
and
morning.
The accurate representation of that data is that more of the people in the hospital are now young.
Okay.
Because as we saw in the data I told you about weeks ago in Israel, as you vaccinate the older population, they're no longer getting sick.
I see.
So more of the people in the hospital are young, but there are fewer young people and fewer everybody in the hospital now. We're at a really low point, which I call the nadir, or the low point, or the, what we can expect to be for a while until we develop herd immunity. And that's kind of the endemic stage.
So the people who are fanning the flames of concern are just putting a twist on the numbers. It makes sense when you look at the vaccination rate, who's protected now. The most vulnerable are protected, which was our plan, our hope.
Right. And now hopefully we'll move through everybody else, and everybody else will have the equally represented drop in the hospitalization. But the good news is that, as we have seen throughout this entire course, young people, when hospitalized, usually do not get ventilated, do not have cytokine storm, do not get the really sick SARS, and they're out of the hospital very quickly and recover at astoundingly high rates. I think part of this is that part of the reason we're seeing more people catch this is another thing we've talked about before, and that is these variants. And the newer variants, they say that up to 60% of COVID cases in Virginia now are that British covariant that they have seen. And the bottom line is they are more contagious, easier to catch. So people are catching them, and obviously young people are more active than others. They are not more virulent. You are not more sick. And they are all still covered by the vaccine.
And they are
UK,
covered
by
that's
the variant. They are.
Okay.
We have not had evidence yet that there's still some variants under investigation, because obviously they're coming up. This is a big deal. This is different than the flu. That's why you have to get a flu shot every year, is that the variants of the flu that evolve year over year are no longer controlled for by the flu virus. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest gifts we've had, and this is typical of a coronavirus, one of the greatest gifts we've had is that these variants are not more virulent. They do not make you sicker, and they seem to be susceptible to the same immune system response that we're able to create by infection or by vaccination.
Anecdotally, it sounds like there are not as many people rushing to get the vaccine as we move from the elderly and sick population, which clearly the data shows were the most vulnerable people in our society, down into the younger crowd, my age and younger, 50 years and younger. Is that surprising to you? Is that alarming to you? Do you think that we need to do some sort of big push to say, hey, if you're 25, I know you're not super vulnerable to dying or even going to the hospital, but you need to get this vaccine?
Yeah, I think I think education is where we should be. And I look at the billions and billions of dollars that have been spent on responding to this virus. Why, you know, we've seen commercials on masks, which honestly were just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Why don't we have commercials on protect yourself with vitamin D, you know, public service announcements? Why don't we have a commercial of a kid, a 25-year-old kid with their grandmother, and say, look, do it for everybody. We can motivate people to do this, but I think that I personally think we're going to have to be strategic on this as well. We are reaching a pivot point where access to the vaccine is going to be motivated by different things and different lifestyles. So when we did mass vaccination centers for people who were really scared and didn't want to get it, it was a good model to get people to get it. Now, I think it, you know, in an ideal world, it would be every time you go to a primary care doctor, every time you're in an ER, every time you walk into a pharmacy, hey, would you like your COVID vaccination? You have to provide the care at a convenient location for the receiver. Mm-hmm. And we haven't made that pivot yet. You know, the hospital isn't prepared to give vaccines in the ER to the masses. They just only have this stock hold that they have for their employees. And so I think it's time for Virginia to pivot again and think about how we make this vaccine accessible. And I hope that's what they're thinking about. Now that I just have thought that through with you, I'll probably call them this week and suggest that. Mm-hmm. But I think that's how we're going to have to move forward.
What's your take? Man, I'm running out of time, but what's your take on the mandates out there? We talked to Karen Michael, one of the attorneys who works with businesses, about whether a business outside of a hospital, which I think is kind of a unique situation, or a nursing home, whether a business can mandate that you take the vaccine and really inquire as to whether or not you've had it or not. Do you, as a legislator and doctor, do you have a thought on that?
I do. I mean, and it's based very simply on my philosophy as a Republican, which speaks to the free market and individual freedoms. And I would say that, you know, recognizing the patient's bill of rights, nobody can be forced to take a medical intervention that they don't want. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that they can tell their employers in the marketplace, they have to contract with their employers what the understanding is in their employment. And I believe in a free market, employers have the responsibility and ability to hold their employees accountable for what they think is important. And then an employee can choose to not be employed by that employer because they are free to do so. But I believe if businesses think it's in their best interest and their ability to serve their customers, you know what? Many businesses require other health initiatives on our part. And so I think that the businesses have the ability. Now they can look at that and say, am I not going to have a workforce if I require that? But I think those are the determining factors. It's that that relationship between the employer and the employee and what they need to do to get their market share that should decide that variable and not anything else.
Oh, boy, it's a mess. I can just see this. You know, where does it stop?
Well, I say it stops with the government. I don't think the government has the power to say you have to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And I think that's clear and evident, and that's evident in the patient's bill of rights. But I believe, you know, an entrepreneur that has their business, that's important to their business. Obviously, there can be political interplay there. Yeah. But I think if we're going to believe in free markets, that means they can compete in that market and they can make the decisions about what they need to do in their workplace. That's my opinion.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I just wonder where, and once we don't protect the minority's right to make those decisions, I mean, essentially saying you can be disenfranchised and not be able to make a living, we have a potential problem here that, I mean, you can basically be shunned into second class status. So I don't know. I'm not arguing with you. I don't know how to thread that needle. That seems like
I don't either. But yeah. I'm just thinking you know, I also don't believe in the ability of the employee to hold a, you know, a business ransom. I think your freedom of choice is recognizing what are the consequences of this decision that I make.
Yeah.
And the consequences are either I want to get it or I don't want to get it. But hey, it may actually interfere with my employment because I do this kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to wrestle with that. But I think we're in a place right now where a lot of individuals feel like they can hold everybody else accountable for their personal decisions. And I think when you make a personal decision, you have to hold yourself accountable for that, but you can't force other people to comply with your will.
I completely hear what you're saying, and I could argue it on both sides. It's, you know, it's like somebody who works in a call center, but they're working at home. Should they be required? I mean, we could go through job by job by job and talk about the consequences one way or another. This is where governance it becomes problematic. I appreciate your candor in talking about it. State Senator and Dr. Siobhan Donovan, always thankful to chat with you.
Thank you.